tuned to Tidings, and this is Hazel Khan, bringing you an interview first broadcast on WPKN in April 2010. Today, my guest is Aida Ayed, a Palestinian-Canadian expert on the culture of the Arab-speaking world. A performer herself, she will talk to us about the Palestinian music scene and its most significant women musicians. Aida spoke with me from Toronto.
Well, I was born in Canada. I was born in Winnipeg. My parents immigrated here in 1965. And they were refugees from 1948 that were living in refugee camps in Jordan and the West Bank. And so they decided to make a better life for themselves by leaving. I was born in Winnipeg. I grew up with identity issues, like most multicultural families or people from different backgrounds. And so initially I shied away from my Palestinian side. But later, with the First Intifada, for example, I started to become more proactive in trying to understand the situation and also educating others about it. Because I felt there's a vilification of Palestinians and that perhaps it's my role to try and rectify that. And since then, I've been pretty active. So, and currently, I'm programming for a cultural space in Toronto called Beit Zaytoun, which means the House of Olives, where we program cultural events to do with Palestine, the Middle East, and beyond as well.
So what is the Palestinian identity issue?
Well, as you know, and maybe some of your listeners know, Palestinians are often portrayed as people who are bad people and terrorists. And there's always a stereotype that we're destitute and violent and without a culture. People often don't know anything about our culture and our heritage. My take is that I have to tell people that we do have a heritage and we do have a culture and that, you know, we're people too, and we do have music and art and poetry, and that I should share that with you.
Well, it's not only that Palestinians are bad people, but that they are sort of supplicants. I mean, that they're always victims and that they're living in rubble and that, you know, they're to be pitied. So that's the other side of it. But the idea that maybe there's a whole creative force going on there, that, you know, that kind of thing, I think is people really don't understand. I think people would probably be surprised to know that there's a Palestinian music scene.
Yes. There's a very strong Palestinian music scene, and it had, you know, it's a very long road and very interesting one. Music plays a role in every culture, including the Palestinian culture. And, you know, in the rural culture of Palestine before 1948, music played a huge role in daily activities. So celebration, of course, weddings, even funerals, harvest seasons, all of cooking, you name it, was celebrated in some form of music. And so in 1948, that changed because the structure of the village or rural life changed drastically with the dispossession of Palestinians. And then, you know, with modernization and urbanization, people going to urban centers to work and to make a living, all these musical traditions were kind of beginning to be lost. نحن في لحم بلادي نحن في لحم بلادي هي في Does it make sense to talk about Palestinian women musicians as a group? Is there such a thing? Yes, there's an emerging number of artists who are making music, Palestinian women who are making music. I should point out just to, you know, back up to my previous point, is that women took an active role in making music in a village environment and in celebration or harvest season, for example. But later, that was kind of marginalized by the situation. And so some women took it upon themselves to kind of revive this art and record some of the old songs and actually go to older women and do a survey of the kinds of songs people used to sing in different situations. And so a lot of these artists that we are going to talk about today, these women, actually began their art in the old heritage, in the old traditions of folk music, of Palestinian folk music, and then turned around and took them and modernized them, adapted them to modern music. And what became interesting out of that is that people became more familiar with these forms of music from rural life. So it became kind of, it's almost like saying it's like an urbanization of rural music, of our folk, Palestinian folk music, which is really interesting.
But it shows a great respect for the past and for the cultural heritage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess there was a sense of urgency because a lot of this stuff is going to be lost. So women took it upon themselves to kind of, you know, record this stuff and disseminate it as well. So for example, one of the artists that we'll be talking about today, she recorded the lullabies that were sung to babies. And now they've become popular again because of her work. So this is a very important work that these women are doing. They're moving ahead and actually creating new sounds and music as well. So there's a lot of patriotic song that emerged in the 60s, 70s. You know, with the liberation struggle, a lot of these groups were concerned with rallying people for political gain. So actually, the Arab nationalist movement also influenced how the songs are done and the content of the song. So, and then later, groups like Sabrin emerged that, while very patriotic and talks about liberation, has a more artistic flavor and really recreated the idea of a Palestinian song in a new way, in a contemporary way. So from that emerged a few artists that were doing very different, interesting things with music.
تحت الغروب وأهدي وأعرف أمامك وأقول.
The one underlying theme, of course, or commonality, is that poetry is the basis of all of this. So the starting point for any song is the poetry. Now, how you put it to music is another thing. So you can put it to classical Arabic music, for example, or hip hop, and then you can make it into a rap song, or a ballad of a Western, pop song type sound. So the landscape is huge, actually, currently. So there's everything from nasheed, which is the kind of a Muslim chanting, to hip hop, to rap, Western rock music, and classical Arabic music. So it just spans a huge range of musical styles.
So would you say that all these women are political activists in the sense that we understand that? I mean, say Joan Baez was a political activist?
I would say for the most part, yes. From what I know of Palestinian female artists, I would say 99%, and there aren't very many, I should say, 99% are activists, explicitly activists in the sense that they speak out about the issues, They use their music to talk about certain issues. Some of them participate in making film. They speak at political rallies. Some have radio shows that talk about local political issues. So I would say yes. And through their art, they are, absolutely. And, you know, some pieces, of course, may not be explicitly political, but the undertone of these pieces are often meaningful and, you know, in a political way. It's a form of expression as a woman to be making art. And in a culture where patriarchy usually prevents women from expressing themselves in such a public way, I think the first thing is that the fact that they're actually making music in the first place says that they're very political, from a feminist point of view, I think. And then, of course, they talk about issues to do with being Palestinian. So there's a lot of references to prison, to actual prisoners, to actual people who are
by name.
Yes. Yes, prisoners or actual children that were shot. You know, for example, in the West Bank, and they choose explicitly the poetry of Palestinian poets who talk about, you know, Palestinian identity. So people like Mahmoud Darwish, Talal Haidar, Fadwa Tuqan. These are all poets that are very, very political in their voice. So yes, they're very political in that sense. And I think it would be difficult to be a Palestinian musician or an artist and not be political.
Just by identifying oneself as a Palestinian, that is a political statement.
Absolutely. Mm. Most of the women who are from Israel, who are Palestinians, it is extremely difficult to perform in the Middle East, of course. With it, being Israeli passport holders, they cannot travel to most Arab countries. And so to kind of make it in the Arab world is very difficult. But saying, you know, having said that, they are able to get their music out now because of the internet and because of, you know, probably TV and the satellite stations. So actually, a lot of them have an underground kind of following, I would say, in the Middle East. A lot of them end up performing in Europe a lot. And so they access the diasporic Palestinian community in Europe, and of course some of them in North America as well. And that's how they get their music out, actually.
So I understand that some of them also collaborate with European musicians. Yeah, I mean, I saw a reference somewhere that, and I forget which singer it was, who actually plays with the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra in Israel. So
yes,
talk about that. I mean, is there a conflict between that kind of multicultural international stance and the Palestinian identity? I would imagine it might be quite difficult too.
It seems to be fashionable, or I don't know if I like that word fashionable, but it seems to be a trend that a lot of Palestinian artists in general actually collaborate with foreign musicians. In the case that you talked about is Amal Murqus. She's a Palestinian from inside Israel, and her collaboration was with the Jerusalem Symphony Philharmonic Orchestra. And she's not an exception. A lot of the women collaborate with foreign artists.
This is Tidings from Hazel Khan, and Aida Ayed is telling us about Palestinian music and Palestinian women musicians.
How about if we start with Amal Murqus?
Okay.
Amal is, she's born in Kfar Yassif in the Galilee. So she's an Israeli Palestinian. And she's been singing since she was a child. In fact, she's won awards as a child for her singing. She's a staunch promoter of music and culture locally, so she still lives there. And she runs her own radio station that deal with local issues as well as Arab culture. She calls herself a communist because she belongs to the Communist Party of Israel. She has many, many CDs. We chose a piece from her CD from Shauk. It's Yearning in Arabic. And it's a CD that was recorded with the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra in 2004, and it's a live CD. Poetry is written by Mahmoud Darwish. It's a poem that he wrote addressing the other poet of Palestine, Sadwa Tufan. The music that Emma makes is often based on folkloric Palestinian music in an updated sound. It's still rooted very much in Arabic sounding music, but it has Western elements in it as well. And it's, I would say her music is eclectic, but still has the element of using Arabic poetry or folk song and Western instrumentation as well as Eastern instrumentation.
I'm looking at the words of the translation, and it seems to me that it's got a yearning, certainly got a longing, yearning quality. It says, "We are a wound, but a wound that fights." And then she says, or Darwish says, "All who have died have embraced me, have made of me a weapon, my intractable wound. My country is not a suitcase. I am not a traveler. For in this age, the weapon devours the guitar." In other words, the gun comes before the music.
So he's talking about how, or in this the Palestinian reality, the weapon is taking over their lives, and you know that even words and song are weak in front of the weapon or war. So he's lamenting that, it seems.
So I don't know, to me, I was wondering when you're talking, you know, that she seems to be very successful in Israel and so on. Do people think that she's compromised or that she's sold her soul or anything to be living in Israel as an artist without any discomfort? Or is it not like that?
Yeah, they're envious of people inside of Israel because they were able to stay on the land or on their home villages. Yeah, I don't think people see her as compromised at all. Mm. Her politics are extremely clear. She's very clear about her identity as a Palestinian, and you know the fact that she sings her fellow villagers' poetry, Mahmoud Darwish, is a testament to that, as well as the work that she does as a folk art preserver, if you want to call her that. So let's talk about Reem Benna. Uh-huh. Reem Benna is also a Palestinian from inside Israel. She lives in Nazareth. She was born and raised in Nazareth. And she makes music with her husband, Leonid Alexeyenko. He's a Ukrainian man. And yeah, so all of their compositions are co-produced together. And she tends to use the poetry of her mother, Zuhaira Sabbagh. She's very well known in the region, especially for her early 90s recordings of also children's songs, as well as preservation of lullabies. She's produced many CDs, but she also performs a lot. She goes as much as possible, performs in the West Bank, even though that might land her in prison by Israeli laws. She also has live webcast performances for people in other parts of the world where she can't go, for example, to Lebanon. She was able to go to Syria recently and perform there, and she has a huge following, actually, among Syrian people. Just like Emma, she has collaborated with many other musicians, and mostly in Europe, of course. Okay, she complete reinterpretation of the music so that it sounds almost like rock, I would say, rock or ballad type songs. Even though the poetry might be in Arabic or the folk song is rooted in traditional music, she's completely rearranged them.
So which song are we going to listen to?
So the song we'll be listening to is called Caramel of My Soul, and in Arabic it's Karmel al-Ruh. And that's from her 2003 album, Mirrors of My Soul. The lyrics are Ibrahim Mother, Zuhair Sabbagh, and in it she's actually talking about a prisoner. It's a tender, tender song, and it's quite beautiful. She mounts Karmel as a part of her soul. In a lot of Palestinian poetry, there's references to places, and the places almost become parts of, like, they become either human or parts of your body, or, so it's, in this case, she's saying that the soul of her soul is caramel. Honoring a person specifically, writing a poem for them in their honor is calling them a hero.
Whether they're dead or alive.
You know, the places in Palestine, you know, when you know, are honored in poetry as their, you know, as their own, they stand alone. So when you use that as a symbol for something precious like the depth of your soul, it's elevating both, actually. It's elevating that part of your soul or the depth of your soul to an amazing thing that's like caramel. Kamila Gibran is my favorite Palestinian artist, so I'm a little bit biased. She was born in Atka, and her father is actually an authentic instrument maker. He makes oud in Nazareth. She's been educated in classical Arabic music, and she plays several instruments. She plays daoud, qanun, and Buzo. She is very well known because of her work with the group Sabrin. And really, they represented the voice of resistance, struggle for freedom, and really presented a modern, authentic Palestinian sound. It had a real edge to it. And then kind of juxtaposed with electronic music, Arabic music. وتملأ أحلامي بأشباح أرض قصية ما رأتها. I really consider her to be a true artist from the point of view of the uniqueness of her sound. I don't think anybody in the Middle East is making music like Kamila Gibran. She is, and I'm not talking women here, I'm talking everybody. She was involved in a film called Telling Strings. It's basically her interviewing members of her own family. It's a really interesting film because it talks about the sense of isolation of Palestinians inside Israel and their struggle to be able to musically assert themselves in the country. She even interviews her father about his work, making Ya'ud, for example, and also about how he was dispossessed from his own village. So it's a very touching and very nuanced film, actually, and beautifully done. In a sense, she's very political because of work like that that she does, and a true artist in the sense that her music aesthetically is artistic, but also very subtle political undertones in her choice of poetry.
Which song of hers are we going to listen to?
We're going to hear Ghariba, which means I'm a stranger. And actually, Ghariba in Arabic is in the feminine sense. So she's speaking as a woman. Even though the poem is actually written by Gibran Khalil Gibran. If we can read a couple of the lines, because it really, it's a subtle way of talking about her sense of isolation and homelessness, perhaps. She actually exiled herself. She left the country. She lives in Paris now. It says, a stranger in this world, a stranger. In estrangement, there is a cruel loneliness and painful desolation. But it makes me forever think of a magical homeland I know not.
She's exiled herself, as you say. She lives in Paris, but is it that she's never really even seen her homeland because she's not?
No. She lived also as an Israeli citizen. She lived in Palestine, but she left to Jerusalem to be able to better able to make music. That's back in the 80s, and then after that to kind of go on her own to become a solo artist. I think she felt the need to leave the country and really. Really explore music in a different way with collaborating with other people.
You know, I was just thinking that, you know, that it's possible to feel exiled in your own homeland if you don't have free access to it. That's, I was wondering if, even if she did live in Israel as an Israeli citizen, she could still have felt this isolation and
Absolutely.
Exile.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a theme that a lot of people talk about inside or outside of Palestine. Yeah, exile is it's not physical, of course. It's the situation dictates the sense of exile and isolation. Yeah, and often my friends in Palestine who are inside Israel always tell me they feel menfa, which means exiled on the inside. They're exiled inside.
That's something that probably very few Americans really understand. They don't have that experience. Was Aida Ayed introducing three leading Palestinian women musicians, Amal Murhous, Rim Banna, and Camilla Gibran. You can link to more information about these artists and their music on hazelkahn.com. This interview was first broadcast on WPKN in April 2010. Tidings is produced by Tony Ernst.